2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Patrick Laird, Brian Hill, Darren Fells, this and much more on this week's DFS Army Waiver Wire podcast. Not quite the names that you thought you would hear when we were heading into week 11. If you are watching this, that means you are still in it in your league and you are giving it a try, or you still have some hope or maybe even some false hope of being in the season-long fantasy football. I am at Alan Sislowski, season long says. How you doing, everybody? This is the week 11 Waiver Wire podcast. If you're watching us on video, welcome. If you're listening on the audio cast, like so many of you do in your car, then listen to the sound of my voice. This is a sneaky good week of the Waiver Wire. There are some deals to be had. But at this point of the season, it's time for you to start thinking about pushing those chips in. What are you saving the budget for? And there's a couple players that are worthy of that status this week. I'm just looking. Hello, everybody that's watching on the video cast. I see your comments coming in. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. All right. But let's get down to business. We're going to aim to keep this Waiver Wire podcast usually around 20 minutes or less. Sometimes it goes a little more, no big deal. But we're going to start also. I'm going to post everything I'm saying on the DFS Army Slack. So if you are not a DFS Army member, what I want you to do is go and sign up for DFS Army VIP, use the promo code SAYS and get 20% off. And the Waiver Wire podcast this week is brought to us by our friends at OverlayDFS.com, the home of the Start Sit Progressive Jackpot, one of the best fantasy games on the internet. All right, without any further ado, here we go. We'll start with the running backs. Now, Brian Hill, the Atlanta Falcons running back, is an all-in play. Basically, you put two hands in and you go get him. Whatever budget you have left. Devontae Freeman went down. He's presumably out for 2 to 3 weeks. That was what the initial report said. Now, at DFS Army, we always assume the back end of that timetable. It will burn us sometimes, like it did with Saquon Barkley. But we want to assume that it's going to be longer than that. And the Falcons season is over, so they may just shut him down completely. Brian Hill is a 24-year-old running back, so he's in a prime of his youth. He's a three-down skill set. We thought he was going to have more of a prominent role heading into the season, but didn't work out that way. Now, Ito Smith is on IR, so he is the guy on hopefully what is a good offense. So whatever budget you have in, push the chips in, go get Brian Hill. In a couple leagues I'm in, I picked him up last week. He was on our cheat sheet last week where you can go get him for a buck. Now you're going to have to use all your budget. And again, that is the key on these waiver wires, is to go get the guys for a buck the week before. Like, you know, again, Gus Edwards might be a player like that this week. If Mark Ingram goes down, Gus Edwards is certainly going to have a great role. So I didn't include him on the cheat sheet because we're, you know, that would be a super deep play. But every week I'll try to give you a dollar guy to go get. Moving along. Darius Geis, 37% owned, coming back this week. Now, I know it's the Washington offense, and I know Adrian Peterson's been playing well, but Darius Geis is the second-round pick from last year. He got hurt a couple times, and now he's back. So I think with Dwayne Haskins there, playing quarterback for the rest of the season, that they're going to run the ball 30-plus times. So even if Adrian Peterson gets his 15 to 18 carries, I still think there's going to be 12 to 15 carries to be had for Darius Geis. And if he is what I think he's going to be, what a lot of smart people, I don't want to say that I'm smart, but smart people that I listen to, I was going to say, Darius Geis, when we looked at the scouting tapes of him, he was awesome, and he's an underrated pass catcher. Didn't get a chance to show that at LSU, but if you look back to his high school tapes, this is what we talked about when he was getting drafted, that he had this one game that was brought to our attention. It was the Army game, the high school All-American game, where he caught these amazing passes. So we like Darius Geis. if it's going to happen, it's going to happen now with him. So I would push him approximately 35% of my budget to go get him, knowing that it may not pan out. But you know, it's a running back that you're going to want to have, and everybody in your league needs running backs. I put 7 running backs on my list this week, and if there's some that I missed, you can always tweet at me and let me know. Okay, the next one is J.D. McKissic, 21% owned. I mean, at this point, he's catching all the passes. He is the last man standing in Detroit. So, and he's had double-digit fantasy points the last couple weeks. So I would put him in. I would go get him. You know, he may not be sought after as much on the waiver wire. And just think of him more like Chris Thompson. He is someone that has a decent floor for fantasy. I mean, the Lions are not a great team at this point. Stafford may not even be back for a couple weeks or at all. Who knows? Because the Lions aren't going anywhere. But I like J.D. McKissic certainly as a pickup. And I think he would be a perfectly good, you know, in PPR leagues, you know, for a 10-point floor every week. All right, moving along here, moving down my sheet. Oh, for McKissic, I have like a 25-30% bid just because at this point of the season, you're desperate for running back. You need a guy in your flex. There's not going to be, you know, much more that emerges. Brian Hill, again, is going to be a 3-down hammer for Atlanta, so he's an all-in play. He has the upside. That's why we want to push all our chips in. Someone like McKissic is more of a floor play. Every week, I have Alexander Mattison on this list. I mean, every single week. And that's because if Dalvin Cook goes down, Alexander Mattison is a top 7 running back. Even limited touches, he's been good. He has been good. So I think if he's on your waiver wire still for some reason, you're going to be able to get him cheap. I have here a 7% bid. I would certainly go after him and get him. Kalen Ballage, so now we're going to talk about the Miami backfield. Kalen Ballage, Myles Gaskin, and Patrick Laird. Kalen Ballage got 20 carries last week and only accumulated 44 yards. I mean, that's like 2 yards a carry, maybe a little bit more. It's terrible. Kalen Ballage is bad. The coach's favorite of this group of running backs is Patrick Laird. Now, Miami is a lock to take one of these amazing rookie running backs coming out next year in the 2020 class. So we'll see which one lands there, but all the talk has been of Patrick Laird, and he got 12 carries, a couple catches last week. I don't think many people in your leagues are going to go after Laird. I don't see him on many mainstream sheets, but he's worth a $0, $1 bid if you're desperate running back. Myles Gaskin, the other running back of Miami, got almost no, you know, he got nothing last week, no production. You know, I actually started him in one league, and it burned me. So I would go after Gaskin and is a $0 bid, but Laird is the guy I prefer, actually. And again, I have them both down as $0 bids. Those are the bulk of the running backs. There are some other guys you can get there that are a little bit higher owned. I'm just looking down the list. We can kind of touch back on them at the end. All right. On to wide receivers. Let me get my wide receiver list here. All right. Deebo Samuel is atop the list. 14% ownership. I have a 15% bid suggestion on him. Now, Emmanuel Sanders went down in the San Francisco game. It looks like it could be a while. And, I mean, Deebo looks like a real player. George Brittle Kittle, he was out this week. He could be back. But, again, he's had injury problems of his own. So, Deebo Samuel, he's no longer a rookie. You know, I mean, I know he's technically a rookie, but come week 8, come week 9, week 10 now, week 11, I mean, they've had enough experience where I can no longer consider them rookies. I think Deebo Samuel has a good shot to return top 30 value, maybe even top 24 value the rest of the way. I would certainly add him where possible. Darius Slayton on the New York Giants. Didn't he look great last week, everybody? One sec. Let me just grab my list that just fell right over here. Hang on one second, guys. All right. Sorry about that. Darius Slayton's heading into a bye, so he might be some sneaky value after his 2-touchdown explosion to go get cheap, because a lot of your league mates are going to see that he's on a bye and not bid on him, he was a major player. He was one of the big storylines. He's a 5th-round rookie, but I would certainly try to get him because I think that he could be a major part of the Giants' game plan. They want to see what they have. They want Daniel Jones to develop chemistry with him. And I think the Giants are a lock to take one of these great wide receivers early in the draft next year. If they have pick 5, I would like to see Jerry Jeudy maybe go there, and Darius Slayton is going to be a big part of that game plan moving forward. So I would put a bid in of, I have here on my sheet 7%. You might be able to get them less, but if you just want to make sure you get them, 7 to 10%. A lot of times heading into the bye, people don't like to make bids on them, but Slayton will certainly be worth it. Moving down my list a little bit, I have Demaryius Thomas as my third ranked player. Now, again, heading into a bye, he's more like a tight end for the Jets, right, at this point of his career. I mean, last week, his line was, let's see, he had 9 targets last week. I think he still looks decent. Again, he moves more like a tight end. He's in the short area. I think you might be able to get him for a $1 bid and then have a wide receiver 3, maybe with a wide receiver 2 upside the rest of the way. I like bidding on DT. The next on my list, number 4, is Kenny Stills. He was probably dropped in your league last week, so you can go pick him up. You might have to bid a little more on him. I know Will Fuller's coming back. That might scare a few people off, but I like Kenny Stills to still be, you know, I think you have to rank Stills in the top 18, top 22 receivers moving forward. He's just so explosive. Now, remember, some weeks with receivers, you're going to put them in there and they're just going to, you know, they're going to crap the bed. But that's wide receiver. That's Julio Jones does that. I mean, everyone except for Michael Thomas craps the bed at wide receiver. Kenny Stills is a player you put in there and you'll get the good weeks with them. And I think in this great offense, Houston's great offense, with an MVP candidate and Deshaun Watson, you're going to get good production from Kenny Stills. I certainly would suggest at least an $8 to $10 bid. All right, moving down the list a little bit. Basically, I grouped the Pittsburgh wide receivers, Diontae Johnson and James Washington, together. Juju Smith-Schuster is officially, I mean, you know, this is not breaking news, but he's a bust this year. And I think a lot of that has to do with Ben Roethlisberger not being there. You know, you hear a lot of talk on the internet and on Twitter that, oh, he's miscast as a number one wide receiver. I don't believe that. I believe he still could be a number one wide receiver. He's going to be a great value in drafts next year. I think in the early draft season, he's going to be going in the 4th, 5th round, and he'll probably settle in as a late 2nd, early 3rd round pick next year. I think that's going to be great value with Ben Roethlisberger coming back. But Diontae Johnson, I think a 10% bid. I mean, these guys are going to get production every week. Again, don't worry about that Diontae Johnson is a rookie. You should certainly go out and get him where you can for a reasonable price, a reasonable cost every week. All right. And the last person I have on my wide receiver list is Cole Beasley, 30% owned, 7% bid. I mean, he is the quintessential wide receiver 3. He gets you double-digit fantasy points every week. So I certainly would go out and get Cole Beasley if you want just a floor play. He's not going to be explosive and get you have a huge week, but he's going to give you a nice PPR floor every week, especially in another big bye week like this one. All right, we're going to take a quick break right here and have a word from our friends at OverlayDFS.com. For those of you watching on the video screen, I put up their logo, and check this out. If you're tired of having to pick the perfect player at every position in order to win your salary cap DFS, if you're tired of having your salary cap DFS out of the money in the first 5 minutes, we're introducing a new daily fantasy game where the pros with 150 lineups do not have the advantage. Overlay DFS is a revolutionary new start-sit game for fantasy sports, the destination for the 10-entry GPP. They used to have single entry, but now it's a 10-entry max. Here's how you play, everybody. You make 12 start-sit decisions from choices of over 30 matchups that they present to you. A win or loss or a tie will be awarded for your overall record for each decision that you make. The top 10% of users will win 9 times their buy-in. If you go a perfect 12-0, you win the progressive jackpot. Usually 8-4 is good enough to cash. Sometimes it's 7-5, but sometimes 9-3. All right, so this is how it works. I'm going to Overlay DFS site right now. And what they have here at Overlay DFS, let's say, this week. Let me just go here. All right, I'm on Overlay DFS right now. And okay, so you have to choose between these matchups. So this week they have Baker Mayfield versus Mason Rudolph. So you're going to have to choose who has more fantasy points in this given week. And if you get that right, you get a win. And then what you do is you try to pick 12 of those plus 3 alternates. Moving over to, let me see, another one they have here. All right, Nick Chubb versus James Conner. Who do you guys think is going to win that matchup? Tweet at us and let me know who you think is going to have more fantasy points. Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson. And then I always like to scroll down to find some of these dirty matchups, some of these like you would Jason Witten versus Vance McDonald. Who do you think is going to win that matchup? I mean, whoever has like six fantasy points will probably win that matchup. But you see how it works. You pick 12 start sits, and if you go perfect 12-0, you win the 20,000-plus jackpot. Somebody won it about 2 weeks ago. They won $29,000. It was unbelievable. All right, folks, let's get back to the Waiver Wire Week 11 podcast. We are going to now settle into the, let's see right here, into the tight ends. Tight ends this week is actually pretty good. O.J. Howard, he was probably dropped, and then last week, you know, predictably so, had a great week again. Okay, for O.J. Howard, had a decent week against the Arizona Cardinals. He had a 7-target, 4 catches, and 47-yard line last week. He's only about 40% owned, so in half the leagues he's available. You know, listen, he's a great player. I know I've had this debate with the Geek on our preseason podcast where I was all in on O.J. Howard. He was out. He was right so far. But O.J. Howard in his first 2 years looks like a, you know, looked like a Travis Kelce dynamic player. He just haven't gotten to targets for some reason that Tampa has not used him. But if he's out there, I would use him. Okay, I have three more tight ends on here. I have Noah Fant at 10% owned. I would suggest getting him. Now, with Emmanuel Sanders gone, traded, Noah Fant became like the de facto wide receiver two on that team. And he's had, let's see, I wrote it down here, 12 targets over the last two games. I certainly would pick him up for a $5, $8 bid, especially if you're in a tight end bind like most of us are. So I highly recommend Noah Fant. If you can't get in that top tier, if you don't like O.J. Howard, if you don't trust him, Fant would be my top pickup. Now, Dallas Goedert has been being used more at the same time as Ertz. So right now, Goedert is only 17% owned. I would get him for a couple dollars. Some people might think that, hey, he's the backup tight end, but he's been producing over the last few weeks. So I would put a few dollars in. Now, there's no options at tight end. So Goedert, Fant, O.J. Howard, and the last guy I have on there is Darren Fells. Darren Fells is 43% owned. Coming out of a bye, he may have been dropped in your league, but some people probably held on to him because they were just in tight end hell, as we talk about every week on this podcast. Now, with the tight ends, usually we're looking for targets and yards. Fells is the rare exception where we are looking for the touchdowns. And because think of Fells as like how we used to think of like the goal line backs. For those of you who've been playing fantasy for a while, like Marion Barber or Jerome Bettis. Guys that go in there and got like three carries. Jerome Bettis's old fantasy lines used to be 4 carries, 3 yards, 3 touchdowns. And the reason is when they get down to the goal line area, Deshaun Watson looks for his big 6'7" Darren Fells, ex-basketball player, and he just throws him the ball. So I would say in any given week that Darren Fells has like a 50% chance to score a touchdown, and that's good enough. You're never going to get a 10-catch, 80-yard day from Darren Fells. Of course, it could happen, but it is very unlikely. More likely, you're going to get 2 or 3 targets, 2 or 3 catches, and hopefully 1 touchdown. In some weeks, you might get multiple touchdowns. So I think that if your league hasn't scooped up Darren Fells, a handful of fab dollars might get him. Quarterbacks this week, Derek Carr is still only 45% owned. Derek Carr basically it doesn't have the super upside, but the floor is super high. I would say every week you can basically count on 250 yards and 2 touchdowns from Derek Carr. So if in a one quarterback league, you just put a few dollars on him, you should get him. Nick Foles coming back this week is another player that I'm looking to pick up. I think he might be mostly ignored by your league. If he's sitting out there on the waiver wire and super flex, obviously he was scooped up a long time ago. Foles in the injury filled QB should be an injury filled year with QB. He should be enough to get you home. QBs, you're always looking $3, $4, $5. And if Tannehill is still out there in your league, he has just been producing like a top 10 fantasy quarterback. It's been amazing. A note came out today about Tannehill that the coaches wanted to start him in the beginning of the year, but the upper management still had ties to Marcus Mariota, and they wanted to give him one last chance. So Tannehill might very well be that quarterback for 2020. Even if they draft a rookie and if they move up and Tennessee goes and gets a rookie QB, I still think that that Tannehill is a good lock to at least start the season in Tennessee next year. So for you keeper dynasty people, Tannehill is a great sell and a great buy. A great sell for teams that just, you know, in super flex leagues that just want to accumulate draft capital, and a great buy for championship or contender teams that need a rock solid QB with a murky future. So that basically covers it. If for some reason I didn't cover your favorite player or somebody that you think that you're thinking about picking up, you can always get me on the Slack in the DFS Army Room or on Twitter. It's at Alan Seslowski, AlanSeslowski, AKA Season Long Says, or again, like I said, in the Slack chat. But you know, don't say, should I pick this guy up? Because I don't have any of your league context. What you should do is say, you know, what's your outlook on this guy? You know, people were asking me, Kyle Rudolph, for example, if he's out there, he's a viable pickup, but I have him looking like he's owned in about 50% of leagues. So we didn't touch on him today. I'll double check that while I'm talking to you all. But if I didn't purposely talk about him because he had the big touchdown week, but again, he's not someone that I'm rushing to pick up because I just don't believe that he's going to be used as a primary red zone threat. I could be wrong. Adam Thielen out. But again, that would be an example of someone I didn't cover. You can ask me, but you can ask me in context of your league. Don't just say, who should I pick up? All right, everybody. Waiver Wire podcast every Tuesday, but sometimes we're going to do it on Monday. For those of you who are still in it, man, good luck. We'll be back tomorrow with the Geeks Vegas Lions podcast. That's every Wednesday, where the geek from DFS Army, Statsational, and I go over the whole slate, break it down from a DFS and betting angles perspective. On Thursday or Friday, we'll be back with the season-long NBA podcast, and then on Saturdays we are here with the Beat the Bookie podcast, which is one of our fastest growing areas at DFS Army. If you're not a VIP member at DFS Army, go sign up now, dfsarmy.com. Use promo code SEZ, that's SEZ, and you can unlock all our proprietary premium content, and you get access to all the coaches. You can ask us questions whenever you want in the Slack chat. And for those of you who are in DFS Army already, I'm going to be posting my waiver wire sheet to accompany this podcast in there. Until next time, everybody, good luck. Look forward to the playoffs. Win those leagues now. Make those good lineup decisions. Talk soon.